Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad. The devil be Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Are you ready for your gray matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Election 2010, what to remember in November. Some say as many as 100 seats could be turned over to the GOP in this upcoming election. A strong wind is blowing, my friends. Rush calls it Obama's Katrina. A tsunami is rising that will, we hope, overturn the Obama-Soros machine. To get a sense of how spectacular a political storm is brewing, consider. You've got Republican David Vitter in Louisiana trouncing incumbent Democrat Melenchon with... or Melenchon, however you pronounce his name, with a 12-point lead, even with Vitter's 2007 confessed involvement in a prostitution ring, including the scandal of the D.C. madam's mysterious suicide, and then him getting a pass from his buddies, or co-criminals. And add to this that he kept a staffer on payroll after that staffer abused a girlfriend, with a knife assault. In other words, a whole lot of pro-life, and Vitter has a 100% voting record in favor of life. And traditional values American conservatives, and Vitter, by the way, did run aggressively as a traditional values candidate to win his first election. These supporters are holding their noses and voting for this scumbag for only one reason. They are mad as hornets at the Obama-Pelosi gang and the Melenchon... I cannot pronounce that guy's name. I should have looked it up. Melenchon's votes with the Pelosi 90% of the time, by the way. Holding their nose probably does not cut it. The GOP will need to post gas mask distribution booths at polling centers in order to get their man with the R by his name in Louisiana. Do you want Democrats like Melenchon to win? Well, of course not. That's not my point. Folks, my church has been praying aggressively for well over a year now that these rotten trees with their corrupt roots in soil fertilized by socialism, globalism, communism, depopulation, advocating anti-Christ secular humanism, who promote abortion and sodomy. Listen, I'm praying all these evil trees will be uprooted and cast into the sea. A little Bible lingo there. But that does not mean I'm not mad as heaven at the GOP trotting out these perverts for us to vote for. I'm not real excited about ripping out one evil tree, bearing the poisonous fruit of secular humanism, corrupting our culture with the notion that, well, that the only absolute is their absolute commitment to destroy America. I mean, and then only to plant another evil tree that bears the poisonous fruit of decadence and perversity, that makes a mockery out of the values that we cherish, that they pretend to endorse, and then ask us to let them represent? Well, that's nonsense. But actually, my point here is that the people are so angry at the thugocracy of the Soros, Obama, Pelosi, Reid gang, they are more disgusted with Melenchon's service as Pelosi's lap so-called blue dog Democrat that they're putting on their gas masks and voting for a Vitter. Oh, mercy. Now, here's another example of just how much voter wrath the Soros gang of three, Obama, Pelosi, and Reid, have stirred up against the Democrats in April during the primaries in North Carolina. Quote, NC Senate District 37 is so safely Democratic that Republicans didn't even field a candidate in three of the last four elections, end quote. However, quote, this year, two GOP candidates are competing for the nomination, end quote, and C. Morgan Edwards, who won the GOP primary, is looking pretty good for that seat. I can't find any position statement from him on abortion or sodomy, but I did find this statement under a Google heading, C. Morgan Edwards for NC Senate District 37, quote, the Charlotte Post, quote, we endorse C. Morgan Edwards in the Republican primary. He says he's pro-life and a defender of traditional marriage, end quote. All right, well, we hope that that's where he's at. If he wins, oh my, it's going to upset a century of Democrat control in that county. Wow. Another example of the coming tsunami of voter wrath rising on the horizon of November 2nd. The Obama puppet master, George Soros, has had to keep his head down in this election cycle. Admitting that this year, quote, he was holding back from giving to Democrats in the midterm elections because the Republican avalanche in those elections would be nearly impossible to stop, end quote. His word, avalanche. He has decided to attack Fox News and has particularly singled out Glenn Beck. He pretends he has not supported Media Matters in the past, but, well, that's just, what might an elite snob like Soros call lying? A prevarication? Or a disinformation? Policy of disinformation? No. Actually, that's even too direct. A tactic of using a technicality to obfuscate. Yeah, there you go. He has indirectly funneled money to Media Matters through subsidiaries. But now, he is so shaken by what he sees coming, he's come right on out of the closet, and he is openly supporting Media Matters, donating $1 million to sick 'em on Glenn Beck and Fox News. How about that? By the way, another few million to NPR, so they can hire 100 investigative reporters who will, no doubt, be obligated to carry water for the politically correct crowd or get fired. Just ask Juan Williams, who simply admitted that when he sees guys on a plane all dressed up in their, hey, everybody, look at me, I'm Muslim garb, he gets a bit nervous. But he also said we should no more suppose that all Muslims are extremists because of 9/11, then we should assume all Christians are culpable for the actions of Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh. That sounds rather balanced to me, yet my point here is that the rising tsunami of righteous wrath against the Soros coup of our government has called him out from behind the curtain, a little Oz lingo there, and that's very revealing of just how powerfully the Tea Party's tempest in a teapot is brewing and boiling over. And the steam blowing hard from that ready-to-boil teapot is blowing hard through the forest of wicked trees presently cumbering the ground all about Washington. Are you following all these metaphors? So that even the leaves and limbs of the Soros tree are fluttering and bending in the wind. Oh, yeah. But now this has got to be the most compelling signal that the Democrats are in serious trouble. Here it is. Quote, American Jews disenchanted with Obama, Democrats, end quote. What do you think of that? You know, folks, one of the great mysteries of life has been how the Democrats have succeeded at suckering the blacks into imagining that party is the Civil Rights Party and that the GOP is not. When the GOP, not the DNC, supported civil rights in the beginning, when the GOP is the party of Lincoln, when the traditional Democrats opposed the Civil Rights Act and opposed emancipation, for heaven's sake. It's one of the most amazing mysteries of politics. And there's only one answer to it. Money. Oh, yeah. The love of money corrupts. It blinds you every time. It's the root of all evil. But even more mysterious is the fact that Jews almost universally support Democrats and oppose Republicans. When everybody knows the GOP has stood by Israel and the Democrats have typically been soft in their support of Israel, generally speaking, and sometimes even dangerously supportive of her enemies. But finally, the Jewish community is beginning to open their blind eyes. Quote, American Jews, among the nation's most reliable liberal voters, are likelier than ever to give Republicans a long, hard look in upcoming elections as enthusiasm wanes for President Barack Obama and his Democratic Party, end quote. Now, I don't know if you can find a political development more troubling to Democrats than the beginning of the end of their hegemony over black and Jewish voters. That's a major shift, friends. But maybe the boxer's neck-and-neck race with Cardi Fiorina in California rates up there near that development. boxer won with a 60%+ vote in her last election. And now she's in an all-out panic at the strong showing of what I consider to be one of the weakest candidates for the California GOP in that race. If this does not tell you that America is in a major mood swing to from the left to the right, I don't know what does. Unless it's, perhaps the fact that perverse Barney Frank is about to get plucked up by his vile roots and cast into the sea. But hey, you're making a mistake if you think that his recent trip to the Virgin Islands in a friend's $25 million private jet is going to get any real traction in his district. He reported it, as the law requires. He put it down at a value of $1,500. but that satisfies the House ethics rules, right? And he'll skate on that, even though the fella who financed his Virgin Islands trip is a billionaire hedge fund manager who happened to receive $200 million in bailout money from his friend in government, Barney Frank. but that won't do it. Just keep pointing out his involvement in Freddie and Fannie and keep attaching the chain of the housing crash on his foul neck. But really, the fact that Barney Frank's hold on government power is beginning to weaken? Mercy, these are amazing times indeed. This is amazing. Some of the most well-entrenched devils from hell are beginning to get shaken loose and scattered, and they're leaving their hosts exposed to the righteous indignation of voter wrath. Hey, get a load of this. If you are still not convinced of just how deeply the Democrats have stepped into the quagmire, look at this. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, quote, is so frantic to prevent a meltdown that would cost the Democrats 100 seats in Congress, she's even hinting she may quit as Speaker, end quote. And no, they didn't use the word Democrat. They used the word Democrat. All right. She has already written off 50 seats in Congress. Did you know that? But the wave keeps rising. It has not yet peaked. And now she's concerned she might lose 100 seats. So she's hinting, that for the good of the party, she might step down. Dick Morris warns us not to bite, and I think he's right. We've already seen how these people operate. They tell you absolutely anything they think that they need to say to get power, and then they use that power to railroad their socialist communist agenda over the backs of those who gave them that power against their will. Well, the same thing is true about keeping power. They will say and do anything, so you watch out. You wonder some of what these people have in mind as we approach the next couple of weeks here. This could be a ruse, to get fence-sitting Democrats who are foaming at the mouth, mad at Pelosi for what she has done to their party, to think, perhaps they'll be rid of the embarrassment of Pelosi without having to turn their back on their party. Supporting this allegation, Morris points to what is going on in Georgia with Jim Marshall. And it is very interesting. Marshall is running ads criticizing San Francisco Democrat Pelosi, and saying he mostly votes with Republicans and that, quote, Pelosi was never my choice for Speaker, end quote. Isn't that interesting? You see, he knows that the voters are righteously indignant against Pelosi and her Democrats for, to give an example. That asinine statement she made that we have to pass the health care bill in order for the voters to find out what is in it. She is either the most ridiculous dolt to ever hold power in Congress, or she insults the American people by assuming that we are so stupid as to fall for that kind of nonsense. She, with her cohorts, rammed that bill down our throats in the most undemocratic fashion imaginable, insulting our intelligence and insulting our great traditions of representative governance in the spirit of Gruesome Newsom, who said, whether you like it or not. You see, that's the spirit of that whole that whole crowd up there. She's an absolute disgrace to our constitutional government, to representative governance, to the glorious ideals of government of, by, and for the people. And voters are so hopping angry at her and her cohorts, they are ready to send a wave of voter protest against them that will wash them right out of government. And here is a clear sample of just how much trouble the Dems face. A Democrat representative in Georgia, Marshall, he believes that in order to get elected, well, he's going to have to say that he usually votes with the Republicans. And he has to say that Pelosi was never his choice for speaker. When, as a matter of fact, Marshall voted for Pelosi as House Speaker. Oh, yeah. He voted with Pelosi on the $787 billion stimulus program. He voted with Pelosi for Obamacare, the Wall Street bailouts. But don't you believe it, my friends. Pelosi isn't going to resign as Speaker. And if by some devilry, including massive voter fraud, the Dems are able somehow to keep the House, don't think for one moment that Queen Pelosi is going to yield her throne. It won't happen. The only way to be rid of her is to storm the castle with conservative representatives so the House turns right again. And this time, guys, do it right! Anyway, I'll be right back.
Like Paul Revere's lantern lighter, Pastor Scheidbach is lighting the lamps in the Belfry Arch, alerting all Americans that the commies are coming. The commies are coming. Help us spread the message. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com or write us at Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.
The Harry Potter rage and a growing number of young people involved in Wicca testify that paganism is becoming increasingly popular in America. One of the ways pagans appeal to the community for sympathy is by claiming to be a persecuted minority. Some claim that 9 million witches were killed by Christians during the Dark Ages. But here are the facts. First, honest pagans admit this number was fabricated by including the martyrdom of millions of Anabaptist Christians. Historians place the number between 40,000 and 100,000, and that's certainly a travesty. Which brings us to fact number two. The Christians who committed these atrocities were themselves a paganized version of Christianity. Anabaptists never participated in this outrageous behavior. Now for fact number three. Pagans failed to mention that it was pagans who persecuted the Christians, nailing them to crosses by the thousands and feeding them to the lions, for example. Just thought you'd like to know the facts. Courtesy of Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bettoravia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347-9887 for more information.
Stand by. Five, the Brain four, Massage Show three, is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and I'm ready to complete your brain massage for today. I hope in the last segment I have helped you see just how much trouble the Dems are in this year. I know you keep hearing the poll numbers, and they're encouraging, but hey, you know, it's really, when you look at these particular developments, that's when you really see that this is no ninth wave. I should explain. When I was into body surfing years ago, we noticed that, at least at Seal Beach anyway, the largest wave in a set was usually the ninth one. Now, this is not merely the ninth wave, my friend. This is the rising of a tsunami. You've got traditional values voters putting on their gas masks to vote for a stinky GOP diaper fetish pervert in Louisiana just to get away from Pelosi blue lapdog Democrats. That's how bad it is. You've got Soros trembling to the sole of his Marxist socialist shoes, seeing what he called a Republican avalanche coming, one that will wipe out the Marxist machine that he has put in place through Obama, Pelosi, and Reid. He is so rattled, he is saying the most moronic, the most absurd things. Words from his mouth that reveal the true character of his heart. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Get this. Soros recently put out an article titled, quote, "America Needs Stimulus, Not Virtue," by George Soros, end quote. I kid you not. Now, what does that tell you? He sees a tsunami of virtue rising, and he knows that is a threat to his agenda. Oh, yeah. And so he attempts to insult the idea that virtue is what is needed in America. So in what way is virtue a threat to Soros? How about in every way? Virtue will bring down his empire around his wicked heels. He is a man that capitalizes on vice in others to advance his agenda. How different from George Washington, who said virtue was essential to good government. George Soros says it is unessential, and that his god, mammon, money, well, that's what's needed. May God rip that foul tree by its roots and cast it into the sea, and along with him every other vile tree connected to him. Anyway, the American voter is full of righteous indignation, and they want to make a statement. The shift is so profound, and it runs so deep, even the black and Jewish voter is moving to the right. Oh, yeah. The American voter is outraged over how Soros and his puppets, Obama, Pelosi, and Reid, have nearly destroyed our country, trampled all over our traditions of representative governance, forcing their socialist policies on us like filthy rapists, refusing our objections, overpowering our resistance, and forcing their own pleasure on us against our will. The people are angry at how Obama and company is raping the American taxpayer, piling trillions of dollars of debt that will crush the next generation, bullying us, abusing the power we people have loaned to them. Well, it's time to call the loan, because they are in default. They have failed to keep the trust we placed in them. It's time for Americans to send the shot over the bow and say, you politicians have us to answer to. You cannot run roughshod over our backs, refusing to heed our voice and get away with it. This is America, not some banana republic. We're not China. What, you're going to roll out the tanks and attack Americans and think we will sit still for that? Janet Reno, we're not Russia. We're not Venezuela. We're not North Korea. We're Americans. And you politicians do not own us. You do not own our children. You do not own our houses, our health care, or our lives. And you do not own our money either. You cannot just tax and spend us into bankruptcy like the communists did to Russia, or the socialists did, or are doing right now to Greece, France, and England. We're going to stop you now. You chanted, yes, we can. And we did not realize, though we should have, we did not realize you meant, yes, we can delete God from the Declaration of Independence and push Americans away from the idea that our rights come from God and not from you politicians, and that they are inalienable. You can't have them. We did not realize that what you meant is, yes, we can force health care reform on you without your consent. We did not realize you meant, and you were chanting, yes, we can tax and spend America into oblivion, tripling our national debt while pretending to deliver us from debt. We're not stupid. You can fool some of the people all the time, and we've got quite a little core of those. And you can fool all of the people some of the time. But friend, you cannot fool all the people all the time. And we're on to you. When you chanted, yes, we can, we did not know you meant you could shield Black Panther thugs from prosecution for a clear violation of voter protection laws, intimidating voters at the booths. We did not know you meant you could arbitrarily work to dismiss the case against a terrorist who participated in the 9/11 attack on America. We did not know you meant you could operate American government like some mafia-controlled underground organization. We did not realize that what you meant is, yes, we can do anything we want to do, whether you like it or not. Well, we're about to answer back, loud and clear. Oh, no, you can't. They have ignored us. They have dismissed us as rubes. They have insulted our intelligence. They have arrogantly said we don't know what's best for us. They have told us to just shut up. They have ridiculed our most cherished traditions. They have, you know what they have done? They've urinated on our Constitution. They have brazenly declared, quote, we're no longer a Christian nation. They have attempted to steal the idea, the heart and soul of the Declaration of Independence by deleting the word creator when it's quoted. That's because these arrogant, self-willed elitists vainly imagine that our rights descend from them and not from God. Well, let's show them where our rights come from and that we still have them. Let us remind them of where power is invested in America. The first three words of the Constitution, we the people. They have lied to us, cheated us, scorned us, and spurned us, and it's time to give them a civic lesson they'll never forget. Power comes from the consent of the governed, and they are ruling against our consent. They despise the idea that they need our consent. Well, let us remind them of that little lesson we taught Britain's king long ago. I guess they forgot it. Let's remind them. Remember November 2nd. It's our first opportunity to be heard loud and clear with a voice they cannot ignore. They have refused to listen, but they cannot refuse to hear us at the ballot box on November 2nd. November 2nd is our turn. I hope you have enjoyed your brain massage for today. If you want a copy of this broadcast, go to www.santamarialighthouse.org and download a copy from our website. If you're not web savvy, call our toll-free number, 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And ask for a CD of the show. The first five callers will give it away free. The rest are asked to give us a $2 donation. That'll cover shipping and cover the cost of the CD. You can go to www.baptistlighthouse.podbean.com for an archive of past shows. I've lit the lights in the church belfry arch that signal the enemy is on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. I'm paying for the call. Call 1-888-770-8000. And please understand, some of my new listeners call and they expect to talk to me. And I love that. That's great. And then, but some of you are hanging up and not leaving a message. That's not the way this works. I travel a lot. I can't be at a microphone at any specified time so many times a week. I just can't do that. So what we do is we have a message. We have a message center. You call in and you leave your message for me. And if you want me to call you back, then you leave your number and let me know you want me to call you back. And then I'll do that. And if I'm not away somewhere where I can't, like in Fiji or something like that, then I usually call back within 24 hours. In any event, the deal is this. You call and say lights on if you agree with me, lights off if you disagree with me. And that little routine started because some years ago when I was doing a show, I made a statement and then I followed it up with, that ought to get the lights on out there, meaning that, you know, people will be able to see clearly, and had a bunch of people call in and say, hey, the lights are on, the lights are on. And so that's how that tradition got started, and we've just kept on with it. Lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. You can leave pretty much as long a message as you like. You can also reach me on the web. Go to our website at santamarialighthouse.org or just Google Santa Maria Lighthouse Baptist Church or just Google me, my name, Jerry Scheidbach. And you'll find on the list there, you'll find the Santa Maria Valley Lighthouse Baptist Church. You can click on that link and go to our homepage. You'll see a contact us button. And there you can go to you can register lights on or lights off, and you can type out a message to me as long as you want, as long a message as you would like, and that'll come to me. And I always love to hear from my listeners. So please do call 1-888-770-8000 and let me know what you think about these things. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.
The Harry Potter rage and a growing number of young people involved in Wicca testify that paganism is becoming increasingly popular in America. One of the ways pagans appeal to the community for sympathy is by claiming to be a persecuted minority. Some claim that 9 million witches were killed by Christians during the Dark Ages. But here are the facts. First, honest pagans admit this number was fabricated by including the martyrdom of millions of Anabaptist Christians. Historians place the number between 40,000 and 100,000, and that's certainly a travesty. Which brings us to fact number two. The Christians who committed these atrocities were themselves a paganized version of Christianity. Anabaptists never participated in this outrageous behavior. Now for fact number three. Pagans failed to mention that it was pagans who persecuted the Christians, nailing them to crosses by the thousands and feeding them to the lions, for example. Just thought you'd like to know the facts. Courtesy of Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Benaravia Road in Santa Maria. Call 347-9887 for more information.